We're living in the end times, aren't we?
Amen.
We're seeing a lot of things going on around us. And the Bible tells us to watch and pray. And this is pretty small print, but I want to quote some of this right here. We've been warning for the last 4 or 5 years for the church, and my burden is really for the church, because we got saved and we got into the churches thinking they were teaching us the true word of God, and we found out that they were gaslighting us. And that's, I want to continue from last week on gaslighting, especially in the church and how it got there. And not only is this doctrine in the churches, but it's also in the world. And we are not of this world. Remember, the kingdom of God is not on this earth. We're in the world, but we're not of it. But we're surrounded with it. And we need to keep our faith in God in these times, because a lot of people have been taught wrong. And as a result, they're trying to do all these things themselves, and they don't know how to rest and trust in the promises of God. They're trying to do it all themselves. So we're going to kind of take a look at the history and some leaven that's come in the church, where it came in. And I'm not going to get into all of it, but we need to watch and help people come out of this poison, monstrous doctrine that causes you to change your reality, not live with what really is going on, and you're always trying to live in a place that you aren't. And actually, it is Christian gaslighting. And the system that we live in, there's so much narcissism around. Some of you know I've taught a lot on narcissism. Get those tapes if you want. But the warning to the churches is getting more serious. And unfortunately, many people resist these warnings. And they've been taught to resist it because they think you're negative. And they've been programmed and brainwashed into being positive. Everything has to be positive. Well, things are not positive right now in the world. And in Matthew 24, read through that whole thing. But he tells you what are going to be the signs of the time of his coming. Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. And we've looked at the book of Revelation and see the kings of the earth, the merchants of the earth, deceive nations. And now we're into a global movement. We're into global, coming into things that have never happened before. But God told us these things. He said, many are going to come in my name saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed. And they're saying that they're Christians and they're speaking for God. And they shall deceive many. And never get to the place you think you can't be deceived. Because we've come out of some of these movements, and I just think my heart was so right. I tried so hard to do the right thing, and I was just doing what these leaders told me to do. We couldn't have gotten this deceived without these leaders. and their seminars and their conventions and all the things. We just kept hearing these same things over and over and over. But he said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And this is something we're going to see in the days that we're living. Even on television, even the commercials are getting just vexing. It's just like, wow, the kingdom of Satan is right there in plain sight now. Sorcery, the halftime shows, all these things are so, the rituals of Satanism is in your face. Some people just think it's a good song. They have no idea what's behind it, the deception behind it, and the pull for our youth to go into darkness. But we're seeing this nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. For there shall be famines, and it goes on, earthquakes. Are we seeing a lot of earthquakes? My, so many different things. These are the beginning of sorrows. And then he goes on, verse 11, I want you to see, many false prophets shall rise. They're rising, and they're saying things. They shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're being pit against each other on purpose. We're seeing politicians like toddlers playing and throwing things and acting just, we wouldn't even let our kids act this way. But now we're seeing political chaos by design, and we've been talking about the world order to bring things into one nation. We're not going to go into all that. I don't want to get censored right now. But iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. We're called to love people, even if we disagree with them. But we're going to see hatred, and we're seeing division even within church people fighting against church people because they're catering to their flesh and their own opinions. But you shall, and he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel Which gospel? Not the false gospel. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. So when we preach the word, it's a witness. If they choose not to believe it, it's still a testimony against them. It's going to be a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And I just want to encourage you again, if you're pre-trib, mid-trib, whatever trib, stop fighting about it. It doesn't really matter. Just be ready. The biggest fighters I've found are these pre-tribbers. They're not going to go through stuff. You just better put all this stuff on the shelf and trust God, because it's not worth fighting over. It's not worth dividing over. And so many people are getting their undies in a bunch over all this stuff, because they don't realize that you got to endure to the end. If your end is tomorrow, hallelujah. But, you know, we just have to stop fighting. Why? Because we are coming into some great deceptions, and we need our friends. We need people around us. Even if we disagree, we need to find friends, a safe haven of people that we can be friends with and talk about things. And maybe we aren't going to agree on everything, but we don't become disagreeable. We don't fight and get offended. He said many are going to be offended in these end times. Don't let it be us. Choose not to be offended. So then he talks about all these other things. But in verse 36, of that day and hour knoweth no man. So these prophets that are telling you when he's coming, run from them. Because Jesus, it says, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only knows when these things will happen. So these people say, he's on the runway now. Well, they've been saying that for 20 years, deceiving people, selling lots of CDs. So don't get involved in all of this hoopla and false stuff. Face reality. We're going to talk a lot about reality today, because in the churches we've been taught, deny your reality. There's two kinds of knowledge. There's sense knowledge, which doesn't do you any good, and revelation knowledge, which really is Gnosticism, and it's putting the material world down in the spiritual. Everything's in the spirit. You got to get in the spirit, and you got to get these extra biblical encounters and revelations. And what's it done to people? It's made them a mess. Because they're false hope into a gospel that's not real. Because it's a different gospel and it's a different Jesus. Because these people only preach positive scriptures. And if it's negative, they don't want anything to do with it. So in today's church, we're supposed to sound the alarm in Joel 2:1. And if you sound the alarm, they call you an alarmist. If you criticize, if you critique, false teachers within the church, Ephesians 5, 11 through 13, you have a critical spirit. If you expose heresy, like we're supposed to do in Titus 3:10, you're a heresy hunter. If you rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, and mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, Romans 16:17, you're the one who's divisive and causing divisions. If you warn about the latter days deception and the Antichrist, which we're reading about here in Matthew 24, you're a doomsday deceiver. Needless to say, giving these warnings, our people don't want to hear them, and they're not heeding it. And so the ones that are preaching the truth are being persecuted in this day by the Christians within the church, because they've been taught to be positive. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. There was a charismatic leader, and he tried to use the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, 16-17, to falsely teach that any Christian who critiques another believer's teaching is taking a sledgehammer and destroying the temple of God, and by so doing is divisive and in danger of being killed by God. Now, this is a threat. And this person's huge in the charismatic movement. And then he uses the story of Ananias and Sapphira to scare people not to touch the anointed. Don't touch the anointed. Well, these people are not anointed. If they're anointed, they're anointed of a wrong spirit that causes people underneath their thumb to be controlled and manipulated. And actually, they're deceived, and they're deceiving others. There's a lot of people, like when I was in this movement, I was totally honest, and I thought I was doing the right thing. And I come out of it, and I realized I was deceived by following these New Age, Word of Faith, New Thought preachers. And that message is everywhere. You have not escaped it. If you're in a work situation, they use it on your job. In the churches, they use it on, it's everywhere. It's infiltrated. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. But in Acts 17:11, Paul said, search the scriptures daily to see if what you're being preached to is in the scriptures. Be a Berean. And Paul and John exposed the false teachers. They didn't embrace them and say, hey, let's all go over there and raise $20,000 for him this week, which they do for each other all the time. They exposed these false teachers, and he names them Hermogenes, Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander the coppersmith, and Diophrates in 1 Timothy 1:20, 2 Timothy 1:15, 3 John 1:9, on and on and on. They were not afraid to say there's false prophets that are rising up. They're going to come and try to take you away from Christ. Well, where are those preachers today that warn, that tell us to watch out for these false teachers? Where are they? They get silenced for some reason because they want a big crowd and they want to be popular and they want a really feel-good message so everyone leaves and just feels great. Well, sometimes we need messages that make us feel sad and repent and say, I need to go repent for that. So the main thing that got me on this was as I was studying the last couple messages on controlled opposition. And you need to get that one if you haven't heard that one. The best way to control the opposition is lead it themselves, Lenin said. So they put their people in. Well, this has also happened in the infiltration of Christianity. And this has been their goal, as you know what the Bible says, but it's also the goals of the merchants of the earth, the kings of the earth, whoever you want to call them, to bring Christianity down. And they've been doing it piece by piece. And they've been doing it with their puppets in place for a long, lot, way longer than I thought. But we're going to get into some of that. But Satan, in Genesis 3:1, he caused Eve to question her reality. And this is the thing I think that got me the most when I was studying on gaslighting. They're messing with your mind and they're telling you what your reality is. When you're facing something, like for me when I got in the faith message years ago, boy, way back, so many years ago, and I remember having my first son. We had no insurance because we had faith, you know. You didn't have anything because you had faith. You were taught that. And my second son, good thing we had insurance with him because he had Hirschsprung's disease, which is part of the colon had to be taken out. He didn't come home with me for a month. And I got no sympathy from those in the church. The church people basically said, what's wrong with you? Why don't you have any faith? There's no love in this message. And very few people know how to handle reality because they're being taught you shouldn't have a problem. You just have faith in God and you're never going to have a problem. You confess this away and you start living in a world that's not real. And you start, when you come to reality, it's so much to grasp because you were taught by people that you thought knew God and loved God, you didn't realize that they were deceived themselves or actually bringing down true Christianity by substituting it with different doctrines, which we're going to get into. So now here we see right from the very beginning, Satan is making Eve question her reality. Did God really tell you that? Well, so it's not new. This gaslighting and this deception and this deceiving has been from the beginning. So why do we think we're so special? We're not going to be tempted or we're not going to be seduced or we're not going to be deceived. That's the lie. That now that you're saved and you don't have any more problems, one guy said, I'll never grieve again. I know how to deal with hurt and grief. And I thought, you don't even live in the real world. Yeah. Big TV preacher. So today, we'd call it gaslighting, that Satan was gaslighting Eve, trying to destroy her, distort her reality. And this is what the enemy wants. He wants to cancel your reality with these false metaphysical science doctrines, which is not the natural, but they go beyond the metaphysics. So they go into the spirit realm, and they want you to be able to control your life and your destiny by your words and all this stuff we're going to get into. So they want you to cancel your reality with false data today. This is going on in our world, not just in the churches, but I see it in the world because I've seen it in the church. Now that you see the program, you see the plan, it's easier to detect it. So if you've been in this, don't condemn yourself. Come out, be stronger, rightly divide the word, learn to read the Bible for yourself in context. Don't listen to some famous guy who's not going to be there, doesn't know your name anyway. We are taught to be so loyal. We don't touch the anointed. Well, these people are unanointed, and they're false prophets because they're not preaching what the Bible says and preparing us for Matthew 24. and these other things. They're not preparing us. These people are unprepared. They're like ostriches with their head in the sand. They don't know how to deal with problems because they were told you're not going to have any. So now we're dealing with false data, fake news, political chaos, celebrity pastor scandals. And I remember years ago I told you, watch out for the scandals, because they want Christianity to be pulled down. That is one of the main goals. I guess I didn't bring that paper down with me, but I have so much. Is to bring Christianity down, which is true biblical Christianity. The Christianity they were preaching is not the Bible. It became popular and famous. Jesus was never famous. And he told us, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. That gospel is not, but the Bible says the end won't come till that gospel's preached. So God knows what he's doing. So the danger of so-called Christianity gaslighting, it's disguised itself as faith. Now, something as precious as faith has been distorted, twisted, misused, and now all the pressure is put on you. You have to do it. And if it's not happening, it's like when I was going through stuff, when I was pastoring that big church, it was amazing how there was no compassion, no love, because if there's something wrong, you just don't have enough faith. What's wrong with you? So how do I get it? They never tell you how to get it. Just confess it more. Just keep confessing. And one day it's just going to drop in. Oh, any attempt to manipulate reality. Now this is Dave Hunt, and I'm quoting him, and I recommend you all get out your old books of The Seduction of Christianity and Beyond Seduction. I've been rereading it, and boy, does he have it for the one world church that's coming, that we're seeing now, the unity that they're calling for. He nails it. He's passed away now, but he was persecuted for writing these books because he saw it, and he was exposing these doctrines. But thank God we can get him in his books. But he said, any attempt to manipulate reality by various mind over matter techniques, like positive possibility thinking, is sorcery. So welcome to witchcraft, people. You're coming to church thinking you're learning about God, and you're learning witchcraft. If that doesn't make you mad, I don't know what will. So another thing he said was that what the secular world calls mind power, many Christians confuse for faith, the impersonal force that occultists refer to as universal mind or nature, is a substitute for the God of the Bible. This is not the same. The God of forces, the force of love, all these Word of Faith preachers preached on, it's not the God of the Bible. They're talking about spiritual laws of metaphysics. The ability to exert mind over matter or positive mental attitude is now thought of as normal. Wherever you go, this is normal. For those who follow the laws of success and motivational seminars, this is normal at work and at church. You got to be positive. You got to come out with a message that really gets them worked up and hyped up. And at work, too, you got the same principles going. Who needs God if everything happens according to laws that even God must obey? There again, that's Dave Hunt. Let me just quote this out of this. I thought this was good. The belief in laws that control spiritual forces, on page 98, the belief in laws that control spiritual forces, like the force of love, the force of righteousness, the force of faith, any other one, force of joy, which in turn control the physical world through the power inherent in spoken words, is the essence of sorcery. Hang on, because I've got some more proof. Occultists repeat a mantra. It's a special word with spiritual power, and practice decreeing, which is the repetition of positive confessions to create what is being spoken. They're not praying. They're positioning themselves to pressure God, so-called the spirit world, but they're not asking in humility. They're decreeing and declaring in pride and greed. Those in the I Am groups get together not to pray, but to decree, because they believe in the science, so-called science. If it's not according to the Bible, it's not true science. It's false science. Because they believe in the science of the spoken word, the creative power of the spoken word. In the mind science cults, one doesn't pray, but makes positive affirmations, which is what the positive confession movement also teaches. It's used to be that confession meant repentance of and turning away from sin. However, some would consider that a negative confession. A positive approach or positive attitude are popular phrases, even in the world, but are nowhere found in the Bible. Not one place does God say be positive. Not one. That is not found in the Bible. But are nowhere found in the Bible and should never be substituted for faith in God as an escape from reality. We have so many people with mental problems now that have come out of these movements because they don't know how to deal with reality. We were told this. I was told that I was going to get a miracle. I was told if I just did this, 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 and this, and I followed those laws, I wouldn't have this problem, but I have it. They don't know who to go to. They don't know. A lot of them just backslide. They're so upset they don't know how to go forward. So that's why we want to teach you on this. We've all been gaslighted. And we can all come out of it. Amen? In some cases, people lie just to be positive. They don't want to confess that they're going through anything, that they have a sickness in their body because they've been told by the best celebrity preachers, I won't allow sickness in my house. Well, that same preacher ended up having cancer with his wife had cancer. I don't know how he let it slip in. But see, they think they can control everything. But it puts so much condemnation on people. It puts so much guilt on people. It makes people feel that God doesn't love them. So if you know and you read your Bible, the word is filled with negative corrections. God corrects us. He warns us. And he warns us of judgment. Oh, you can't preach on judgment. Can't preach on hell. Now they preach there is no hell because they don't want to deal with it. That's their non-reality reality. Emphasizing the positive, you shall not surely die, and rejection of the negative caused Eve to believe serpent's lies. It's the same lies today.
Right.
Even though it's been thousands of years, the serpent is still lying and still seducing, and he's still coming as the anointed one. He's coming as an angel of light. But we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we fill ourselves with oil. We want to be ready. So we're taught we create our own reality. You create your own destiny. You should be the head of the company by now. We create our own reality. Words used to manipulate a spiritual realm. And God has to obey. Listen to this. The power and occult definition, the powers and occult definition of words. You can explore a hidden world that shows you how words shape your reality. The same idea in Word of Faith teachings, NAR teachings, New Apostolic Reformation, although they say they're not New Apostolic Reformation. They're apostles and prophets that have greater revelation than the ones that wrote the Bible.
Yeah.
Yippee, let's all follow them. The same idea is taught that words are containers. I used to believe that. Words are containers. And they are. I mean, there's some truth to that we put love in our words. Some people have a bad tone. I don't like bad tone people, but they just never learned that, you know. We all like people that are a little happy and not so negative, right? But the way they teach the force, it's like a force that's going to shape spiritual laws, and God has to obey because God only moves through spiritual law. After all, he gave the planet to man, and God can't do anything without his covenant to man. So they're taught the power of these words. Now, gaslighting, mind games, seduction, deception, is denying the existence of painful thoughts, painful facts. So we're sitting in church now and we're being gaslit. We're being taught you can't accept reality. You can't accept that you don't have a new house. You can't accept that you can't drive the best car. All of a sudden, everything became material. For some of us that go back a ways. Some of this isn't being taught the way it was because they've gotten so busted on this. But there's a lot of this, especially on the positive thinking thing. People are still doing this because they don't know that it's occultish. So the Oxford Dictionary named gaslighting one of the most popular words of 2018. To gaslight is to undermine another person's reality by denying facts, the environment around them, or their feelings. It's a twisting of what's really going on. So here we sat under all these seminars to learn what faith is and how to operate in spiritual laws, right? I just kept thinking, I'm so sick of this message. Does anybody else have another message? In the 90s and 2000s, that was all they preached on, every seminar. In the mystery thriller play and movie, the husband manipulates his adoring, trusting wife into believing she can no longer trust her reality and she doubts herself. That's where the term gaslighting came from. Well, it's really messing with your noodles, messing with your mind, changing so that you don't believe in yourself, you believe in somebody else has to control you. Gaslighting someone's emotions and feelings is a way to get them to deny their reality. They have a new reality now, not based on feelings or symptoms. I can't tell you how many people I've seen say they had symptoms of cancer, but they wouldn't go to the doctor. This person I'm thinking of died when she was 30-some and she left her kids. And later on, because she was confessing, certain she was a nurse and she was denying her symptoms. These people have actually had people killed through these doctrines. They have children that won't receive little help that could have. I want you all to look up Death by Faith. There's articles, Death by Faith, and I'm going to get to those in a minute, just basically touch. But you can read and name the names of the ministers and the children that have died that all they needed was an antibiotic. Maybe they needed something little, and instead they were going to take everything by faith, and that child died. How devastating. It's abuse. It's manipulation, and it's abuse. Gaslighting is a form of abuse and manipulation. It's concentrated on making someone doubt their reality. Pretend you're someone you're not. And just a little, they deny. They deny people that are gaslighting you, they deny they said anything to you. So you doubt yourself. Well, didn't you say that? Something comes to my mind. The guy that says you don't need a diaper on your face is now saying you need two. He never said, that is gaslighting. When they take you from one extreme and then they go to another, they're gaslighting you. And there's a whole lot of it going on right now. And don't be offended if you don't believe that. But hallelujah anyway. So they deny they said it. Or they just discount it. Doesn't matter now. Or they accuse you of doing what they know they are doing themselves when you're being gaslit. They turn others against you to take away your support system. You can't go see grandma anymore. You might make her sick. This is horrible, people. And if you don't understand the New World Order, you're not going to understand how they play. They do not play fair. They're coming into a world governance, and they want a one world system, and they want a one world religion. And it's the religion they built. And it's not the Bible. It's a religion they've promoted. It's the religion they've infiltrated, and they're still doing it, and they're going to continue to do it. So the Bible tells us to come out from amongst them, come out from amongst the system, this system that is going to lead people further and further away from the true Christ into a false gospel and a false Christ. The angels of dark, they come off as angels of light, but what are their fruits? What are they teaching? People that deny, make you deny your reality, that is sick. Yes. No compassion if you're going through anything. It's just too bad. Well, what a mess. What a mess people are in because of these teachings. They accuse, they turn others against you. You are never right. They say you're crazy. If they say you're crazy, then no one will listen to you, right? So they tell all these lies. That's what a narcissist does. They gaslight people and then they do the smear campaigns. And then you constantly have to defend your reality. Well, I know this guy I'm thinking of, he died now, but I know I'm healed. I know I'm healed. His last breath where he knows he's healed. It's sad because This is what we're taught, that we have to defend our reality. Well, don't tell me I don't have any faith. I have faith. You stop trusting in yourself. You're confused. You're not allowed to have feelings. The result is denial. They have put people in states of denial. See how serious this really is. What happens? We postpone decisions we don't want to make. We ignore problems we don't want to face. Let's look at it for a second, at the leaven of the metaphysics, the word of faith, the Gnosticism. Metaphysics, what is beyond laws that govern the world. Metaphysics describes what is beyond physics, the nature and origin of reality itself. Why do we need to run away from these doctrines? Well, let's look first. The New Age leaven in the church. Norman Vincent Peale. What are we talking about here? From 1932 to 1984, he was one of the best known Protestant ministers. He had a weekly program, The Art of Living, was broadcast on NBC for 54 years. His sermons were mailed to 750,000 people a month. My mom got copies. I know yours did. His Guidepost magazine continues its popularity today, having a circulation of more than 4.5 million, the largest of any religious publication. Just want you to know he was a 33-degree Mason. I won't go into all that, what they believe on that level. It was Peale's positive thinking that gave birth to Schuller's ever-popular secular possibility thinking. Schuller turned Peale's positive mind control into possibility thinking. Possibility thinking makes miracles happen. The greatest power in the world is the power of possibility thinking. That's in Schuller's book, The Church, on page 85. Peale's spirituality is not Christian, but it's New Thought, and are embraced among evangelicals who have not discerned its origin. Peale's message was the power of the mind. Your unconscious mind has power that can turn wishes into realities when the wishes are strong enough. How do I get strong enough wish? That was his positive imaging, page 77. Just get a more positive wish. In the power of positive thinking, we immediately find written belief in yourself, have faith in your abilities. First page. Peale has acknowledged that his theology of positive thinking came from Ernest Holmes, founder of New Age Occultic Church of Religious Science. The phrase positive thinking came originally from Charles Fillmore, but it was Peale who made it a cultural icon. Peale's view of the universe as God is as energy, and of prayer as a scientific technique for releasing God energy according to definite laws. You hearing more? Praying, I'm praying for your vibes to get some. This is universalism. That's right. Peale's spirituality was a blend. Now, if you don't put Christian terms on it, people aren't going to fall for it. But if you mix all this together, hoya hush, you put it all together and you call it Christianity, people fall for it. Well, he's quoting the Bible. It was a blend of Christian science, mind science teaching with a dash of Christian terminology. The world you live in is mental and not physical. Change your thought and you change everything. So they believe by controlling your thoughts, you can have whatever you want. The result is denial of reality. Truth for a lie. Man replaces God. It's a departure from the Christian faith. You okay with me? Are you guys there?
Yeah.
In the book, Power of Positive Thinking, the teaching, the theme is believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. The Bible states to have faith in God. Abide in Christ. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. John 17. Peale's teaching, he's teaching the opposite. That we can do all things through our mind, not through Christ. This is the human potential movement. It is the same as the New Age movement. And unfortunately, all of these teachings are part of the New Age movement. It's part of what they're trying to bring in is their one world religion. How sad. This is what the human potential movement, part of the New Age counterfeit, teaches. It also has ties with the positive confession movement. Where? In the church. There are enough people in the mental hospitals that think of themselves as Napoleon or Superman. Does this make them actually Superman? How many people walk around in a fantasy thinking something they're not? They're taught this. You're taught to fantasize, to dream. Dream God's dream. Norman Vincent Peale's understanding of God was God is energy. Breathe. Breathe God in. Visualize his energy. How many in the faith movement have you heard the same philosophy taught and echoed? It was from man's mind that Peale found that was in control of his universe. In 1984, he was interviewed with Phil Donahue. I've taught on this before. He said, it's not necessary to be born again. You have your way to God and I have mine. I found eternal peace in the Shinto shrine. And Phil Donahue responded, but you're a Christian minister. You're supposed to tell me that Christ is the way and the truth and life, aren't you? Christ is one of the ways, he said. God is everywhere, in everything. And that's why if you haven't read Warren Smith, there's another one that's not good, but this is Warren Smith. He's got a new book out on the Titanic and the church. And he explains how, because he came from this New Age movement, and how God is in everything and God is one, and how they're really bringing this about again. But it's always been here. But it's Christ is everywhere. Peale was a universalist, believing that everyone is going to heaven as long as they believed in God, any God. That is not a Christian position. Right. So this leaven came in, and this is why we reject these teachings. And I'm going to go through this quick because I want to finish with the death by faith excerpts here. But it requires revelation knowledge. It's one of the first things I remember being taught. Revelation knowledge. It's revealed knowledge. That's Gnosticism. You have to have encounters. You have to have angels. Angels come and tell you so you can change the Bible now. You don't need to pray for your needs. You just command angels to go get them. That took revelation knowledge. That means adding on to the Bible. They condemn sense knowledge as inadequate. You really are healed. God has left control of the planet in your hands. He can't do anything without you speaking and confessing these laws and these forces into existence. So it makes the Almighty God and Creator a weak faith being who is at the mercy of his own universal laws. Number three, it makes the divine Son of God into a born-again man who had to die in hell to pay the price for our treason. And I was reading how they all say Christ was a failure at the cross. It elevates man to equality with Jesus. We're not equal with Jesus, but these people say he was a master. You can be too. It makes man a God. Faith is not placed in God. I love this, but a power directed at him. So you don't really ever have a relationship. You're just speaking all the time. There's no relationship. There's no humility, but it's not placed in God, but yourself. You don't need God now because you have words. It makes the redemption into a restoration of dominion for mankind. Now we have the new apostolic, the dominionism. Salvation is rediscovering one's place of godhood, they say. You have to rediscover. You just keep going and you keep being elevated until you find out your God consciousness. You read these books and you just get dizzy. And this is the other thing. They teach you that you're kings and queens of the earth. You're not a queen or a king of the earth. The only plan I find that about queens is in the book of Revelation. That's not a good thing. Then the goal is a transformation of the earth by spiritual dominion. We reject that. It's a goal of church unity, which you're going to hear more and more. Church unity. We all unite. We all unite, but we avoid Christ and the truth. It replaces prayer with confession and God's will with the manipulation of forces. God's will is unbelief. That's what we are taught. If you ever pray, if it be thy will, that's unbelief. It reminds me of Satan and his I wills. I will be. I will do. This self-rule leads to pride and greed. Number nine, this is the main one I wanted to get to. They teach denial. It denies the reality of sin and sickness. They tell you if you're a Christian, you should never be sick. And most of them all died with sickness and disease, as you'll read in the death by faith. It didn't work for them. It denies the reality of sin and sickness. They say true reality is spiritual. Earthly senses are deceptive. You can't trust what you see. You can't trust what you feel. So they X out your senses. It focuses on self and the world instead of God and heaven. Everyone's going to heaven. Okay, and lastly, I want to close with this. And get this yourself. There's a bunch of them online. Death by Faith. And this is just a couple excerpts. But I wanted to share because we've been leavenized. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And people are trying to figure out, how do I find God and how do I get out of these movements and what is truth? Well, we got to get back to trust in the Holy Spirit and go read your Bible and ask God to open up your eyes, because they just took certain scriptures. They quoted scriptures, but they didn't teach the Bible. There's a difference when you take the whole context in. But it was E.W. Kenyon in his book, The Hidden Man, on page 99. He wrote, "I know that I'm healed because he said that I'm healed, and it makes no difference what the symptoms may be in my body. An example would be if a person's coughing and you say, 'You have a cough.' They respond, 'No, I don't. I haven't had a cough in years.' That's called denial of reality, and at best, lying at worst." "I have so often said I haven't had a headache in so many years. Just a few months ago, I left the office building and started home." It's a quote by a famous preacher. "Suddenly, my head started hurting. Someone might say, 'Well, you had a headache.' No, I didn't have one. I don't have headaches. I haven't had a headache since August of 1934. 45 years have come and gone, and I haven't had a headache. But if I had a headache, I wouldn't tell anybody, because after all, you know. And if somebody asked me how I was feeling, I would say, 'I'm fine, and thank you.'" They're taught this is faith, and it's really
denial.
They imagine they have discovered laws of faith promoting a Christianized version of occultism. And the more I read Dave Hunt's book, the more I saw, because at first I had a hard time saying that. I'm like, oh, come on, it's not really occultism. It's not really witchcraft. This time I went through his book again, and I was like, oh, boy. Wow. Because when you've been played, it's hard to admit you've been played.
Yes.
But the longer you've been out of being played, you can go back and really admit it. Wow, they played with my noodles. This is what E.W. Kenyon wrote. "We have sung nearer the cross, and we have prayed that we might be nearer the cross, but the cross has no salvation in it. It's a place of failure and defeat." In his advanced Bible course on page 279. And they've all taught that the cross and the blood, he had to go to hell, the whole spiritual thing, because I'm not going into that teaching. "If Jesus was not victorious on the cross, he was not victorious at all. Yet these men, listen to this. Now this is how double-minded and double-speak and confusing this is. "Yet these same men will teach by his stripes we're healed. But they teach you there's no power in the cross."
Yeah.
Which is it? Are we healed for our sicknesses at the cross and not for our sins? Because they don't talk about the sins. Okay, lastly here. This one preacher, very famous. I think they just took him off TV recently. "I ain't never stood," ain't is his word, "never stood for anything in my own life that didn't come to pass. I can only use my faith just so far with you." He teaches faith never fails, especially for himself. So where is God in this? Is it all dependent on him, his faith, his power, his will? But can it fail for you? Interesting, because the same man on his website said, "Much to my deep regret, I must postpone our meetings in Australia, Singapore, Korea, and Hawaii. A few days ago, I injured my back badly enough that even though my healing was already started, so many hours of flying would be too much. Let's face it, I let this situation in my back go on far too long."
Yeah, it's his fault. Good thing he's in control.
It's not working for them either. Many who are involved in this movement need a miracle to get out. Deceived by false promises, another gospel, and another Jesus. So, what do we see? We see, just like the Bible says, there will be an Antichrist, and he's setting up his kingdom now. He is. He's been doing it since the Garden of Eden. He's been working a way to get at Christianity, and he's brought infiltrators in, and he's brought false doctrines in. This is not new. So what do? We come back to the simplicity which is in Christ. We come back to him. We come back to trust in him. Prayer for him. Read Matthew 24. They never preach out of Matthew 24. Never. And they never preach. Well, now some of the false prophets are preaching against false prophets, because that way it makes it look like they aren't. And I was like, I know that person's a false prophet, and they're preaching on false prophets. It's confusing. But when you know what the Bible says, and you see the doctrines coming in, and then you see the leaven, and now it's even hard for people to make a confession without it being positive. If you say you have a need or prayer or something wrong, or you're going through a divorce, you're totally caboosed. You're done, because you let that problem get so, there's something wrong with you. And they treat people. They just cut you off. Is that the love of God? We've all made mistakes. And some are making, you know, bigger ones than others. But my call really is to Christian leaders to come out of these movements, to study, to show yourself approved. Because the teachers are going to get the greater condemnation, the Bible says. And so I'm trying to undo years of sitting under stupidity, thinking I was in the glory, in the glory clouds, and all this prophetic stuff. And even in, I wasn't going to mention this, but I will in closing. The last closing, I think. Warren Smith's book on the Titanic, he talks about the force of joy. The force of joy. And he's got a whole lot to say on that. Maybe we'll do that next week. I don't know. But boy, when he started talking about that and from the New Age and how this force of joy gets a hold of people, and how the occultists say that people are going to have the force of joy in the end time church. Whew, that's some pretty heavy stuff. The Kundalini spirit, mocking as a Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for truth. Some people will call me an enemy because I'm trying to tell them the truth. But there's those out there that want the truth. And Father, we just pray that you open up our eyes. Help us come out of these things, because as these things happen in Matthew 24, a lot of Christians are going to be so upset, they're going to be so mad that they couldn't stop some of the things that they've been taught they have control over. And as they see these things happen, they're going to backslide, and they're going to not have oil in their lamps because they're used to getting fed from these preachers that are giving them nothing, false promises and lies. And deception. And some of these leaders are deceived themselves, and they believe. They believe in what they're teaching. So, Father, we thank you for helping us all get free from doctrines that are not of you. And everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend on you. You're the vine.